Ladies and gentlemen, the following message comes in two parts. The message is entitled, Aborting the Spirit, Part 1. You will hear this today, and I ask that you would listen carefully, for it's very important, the words that are being said. Now let's say a short prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this another opportunity to bring forth these words, Lord, that everyone should hear, that everyone should know, Lord. And Lord God, may the hearers' ears be wide open, Lord, and may the words penetrate deep into the soul of man. I thank you, Lord, and ask this now in the name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen.
Old friends, you know, the other day I read in the newspaper of over 300 people who perished in a Chinese desk attack. Well, I grieved for these souls, and I wondered for a brief moment how many were saved. Then I wondered if any were saved. Would it be cruel and judgmental to even dare to think that all of them are gone to hell? The other day, a young girl from a Bible Baptist fundamentalist church had an abortion. The child was conceived during a period of infatuation with a young drug addict from a passing rock band. Friends, I grieved for that unborn child. Then I grieved for the mother. And then I prayed for the young drug addict rocker. In the end, I wondered, is the mother a saved child of God? After all, attending a Bible Baptist church does not make one a Christian. Then I wondered briefly, could it be possible that the perpetrator of her conception, this spaced-out druggie from Satan's cesspool, had even heard of God, much less hearkened unto his calling. Then I yelled from my king-sized flesh pot, you lowlife, you sleazebox, you scumball, you rotten hell for contaminating a saint of God and destroying not one but two precious lives. Then, my friends, I fell on my knees. And I pleaded with God to forgive me, for I had sinned even beyond those whom I had precondemned. Greater was my sin, for I had known the true measure of sin. What if Christ had said to that woman at the well, go on, you little tramp. You had five husbands. Haven't you learned anything? And now after all that time, you stupid woman, you're even living with a man. You're not even married to him. When are you going to smarten up? No, friends. Instead, our merciful and loving Jesus, brimming with compassion, told this woman, go. Go, he said, go and sin no more. Only God can forgive like this. He forgave her. He forgave her. Just like he forgave me. Almost 2,000 years ago. Oh God, praise be unto thee. And now so must I. So must I forgive those who have caused me to grieve. As a Christian, I'm commanded to forgive. But forgiving is not always easy. Take, for example, the murderer on death row who has found Jesus yet still must face the gallows that man has prepared, but not the gallows that God has prepared. No, there'll be no second death for him. For God's forgiveness exceeds all boundaries. All we have to do is ask. Ask, my friend. Then what about the hoodlum in the park who raped your daughter? Can you forgive him? You must. What about the parents who abused you from childhood, who never showed an ounce of love and never gave you a hug or a kind word, who turned you out on the cold nights and beat you mercilessly for just the way you looked? Can you forgive them? You must. I must pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Almighty God, the situation around the world, Lord, is one reeking of much evil. Oh Lord, Thou knowest. But Lord, how it must grieve Thee to see what is happening to Thine own creation, to Thine own people, Lord. Lord, this subject I'm talking about today is a very important subject that just won't go away, Lord, because it's getting worse instead of better. Lord, I know that all hearts here who are listening to this message now will not respond, Lord, as Thou would have them. But I pray that Thou would speak to their hearts, Lord. For I must, through Thy divine grace, Lord, through Thy permission, please, Lord, anoint my tongue. Give wisdom to my heart that I should reveal unto them, Lord, and unto all who hear this message, Lord, what is happening, what will happen, and what must happen. Lord God, have mercy on them, and have mercy, Lord, on this sinner whom Thou art using today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In 1973, after 10 years of futile bickering, a Supreme Court decision on abortion was finally handed down in the case of Roe versus Wade. You may have heard about that. The results of that decision said, and I quote, "During the first trimester of pregnancy, the decision to abort is left to the judgment of the woman and her attending physician," unquote. The report goes on to say that after the first trimester, the state may regulate the credentials and type of facility where these murders are to take place. Even after the fetus has the physical ability to survive outside the womb, the state may regulate or restrict abortions, except when the life or health of the mother is endangered. Oh, friends, may God have mercy. May God have mercy. Listen over again what I have just said. Listen to it again, friends. Let me paraphrase it for you. During the first 3 months of pregnancy, the mother may murder her unborn baby without any reason whatsoever. Just simply decide she doesn't want. She doesn't want a snotty-nosed little brat getting in her way and messing up her life. For the next 6 months, even at the point of pregnancy, when the child is kicking away at mummy's tummy, when baby unborn begins sucking his thumb and listening to the sounds of the outside world, even then is fetal homicide acceptable? God have mercy. Only by now a coat hanger will do the job. No. This lively bundle
that God has allowed to become a part of his family must now be forced from the womb in whole or in part. Oh, friends, that gory task is left between the mother and the hackmaster. Yes, my friends, it does happen. It has happened, and it is still happening today. And if labor comes early to an indecisive mom, and there's not a garbage dumpster near at hand, there's always the gravel pit out back, or the friendly, caring doorstep of a potential adopter. My prayer this hour, my friend, is that the mothers-to-be will turn to Jesus and get saved. That they will realize the full consequences of such a vile and horrendous decision. Oh, Mom, do you not know that when the child is kicking on the inside, that your prayer on the outside should be one of deliverance for both child and mom? God loves you. He's talking to you, Mom. And what he has allowed to happen has a divine purpose. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These tiny, nubby little feet inside your tummy are happy feet. Anxious to walk by your side and play, looking forward to running for shelter to mom's open arms when the storms of life prevail. He's yours, Mom. God created him. And although he was conceived in iniquity, should you deny him life upon this earth, his very soul shall wing its way into the arms of Jesus. Amen. And again, amen. But what of your soul, Mother? What of your soul? Have you thought of where it shall find eternity? Oh, my friends, you think it's okay for me to speak? For I have not known the troubled anxiety and pain suffered through many pregnancies. Oh, yes, you are right, for I am but a man. But let me ask you this. Have you felt the pounding of a mother's angry fist as it uncaringly tried to still the innocent movements of an excited fetus? Have you choked and gasped for oxygen as hands of malice and pride tried to snuff the very breath of life from your unborn body? Have you felt the deadly protrusion of a foreign object as it prodded away at your frailty? Have you, Mom-to-be, have you seen what a surgeon's knife can do to an unborn baby? Can you feel his pain? Well, I know one who can. His name is Jesus. Do you know him? It was Jesus, our precious Lord, who felt and endured the fetal agony of every unborn soul upon the face of this earth. Consider, friends, what if Jesus had decided to abort all of us? That we should not be reborn into the family of God? What then? Wouldn't that be the great abortion of all? He could have. What if Jesus had decided not to suffer the crown of thorns that tore through his brow? He could have stopped them, the accusers, without so much as a bruise right at the outset.
What if? What if Jesus had decided to abort his mission? What if? What if our blessed Savior had decided not to suffer the excruciating pain of the lashes that ripped through his flesh over and over, just so that we might be born again? What if he decided to abort his mission? What if the King of Kings had refused to be kicked and punched and spat upon so that the lowly sinner might find forgiveness from the vile plague of sin? He had the power. Make no mistake about it, my friends. This mission of mercy from our holy God could have been aborted. What if, sinner? What if the Prince of Peace had not willingly laid down his bruised, swollen body upon the cross where we nailed him? What if he decided during the third trimester of our rebirth to abort us, that we should be forever entombed in Satan's womb, to be delivered finally unto hell and damnation? And that's what we deserve, friends. What if, sinner, what if our wonderful Savior, our mighty Counselor, had decided to come down from that cursed cross of shame and announce to the world that all mankind should be aborted, that there should be no rebirth, no delivery, no hope? What if? What if? What if Mary had aborted Jesus? Think about it, friends. Here's the scenario. Here's the scenario, folks. What if Mary, on discovering she really was pregnant and fearing that Joseph would not believe this to be an act of God, had decided to bring her to shame? She could have been stoned, put to death, for she was betrothed to Joseph. What if Mary, on the first sign of morning sickness, threw her hands in the air and yelled, "Who needs this?" What if Mary, who had free will, just like you and I, went suddenly into a backsliding mode? Don't say it's impossible. It could have happened. But only if Mary had not been a chosen vessel. God knew what she would do. And if the option of abortion were even a possibility, then rest assured that Mary would not have been chosen. God knew the end from the beginning. Do you? Do you, young lady? Perhaps your name is Mary. Do you know what's going to happen during the first trimester? The second trimester? And what about the third trimester? God knows. But if your faith, if your trust, if your hope is not in Him, the consequences of your pregnancy could very well be tragic. On the other hand, if, like Mary of the Bible, who said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," if your hope rests entirely in God, you will never have to make the decision of life or death for your unborn child. When does life begin? Huh? When? When does life begin? In 1973, Supreme Court Justice Blackmun had this to say, and I quote, We need not resolve the difficult question of when life begins. When those trained in the respective disciplines of medicine, philosophy, and theology are unable to arrive at any consensus, the judiciary is not in a position to speculate as to the answer. Give me a break, will you? Give me a break. Doctors, philosophers, theologians, when does life begin? When the seed of fertility is activated. Repeat, when the seed of fertility is activated, life begins. Does not life begin at conception then? And does God not say, thou shalt not kill? Of course the judicial system will not make a ruling. The devil's crowd may not like it. The unfortunate conclusion is this. Abortion assumes non-humanness. That, my friends, is the great world cop-out. Humanness is present from conception. Humanness is present from conception. Psalm 139, 16 says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. David. Oh, friends, God knows. He sees even the unformed body. All your members are recorded in God's book. Now, what about forced rape or unwanted pregnancies? In our Gardner's book called Abortion, The Personal Dilemma, if I may paraphrase here now, when there's no doubt that rape has occurred, termination or abortion should be performed. Why? To eliminate a terrible 9-month ordeal by the mother, and furthermore, prevent the deliverance of a hated and unwanted child. Where does God enter into this picture? Strictly self, pride. Pride. It's a killer, folks. Dearly beloved, the life-sustaining rights of an unborn child do not depend on how conception occurred. Whether it was rape or incest, and to imply that the mother could never accept a child is not realistic, considering that the pregnancy rate due to rape or incest is less than 1%. How many mothers simply abort because they want to pursue their career? The enacting of the law permitting abortion basically serves only one purpose. It tells the mother to be not to worry. It's okay. It's legal to murder your baby. But it's not legal to murder the rapist who made you pregnant. Legalizing fetal demise has brought this murderous act out of the shadows of a back alley abortion clinic to the clinical sterility of urban storefront slaughterhouses. from back alley barbarianism to storefront slaughterhouses. What a transition. What a lark. Jessica M. had this to say. After having two abortions, regardless of what the pro-choice people say, if the option to abort had not been there, I'm confident that after going full term, I would have learned to love having my own baby. Since 1972, the number of abortions per year has more than doubled. Many religionists even attempt to use God as their excuse to abort. Yeah. They say God only intended that children be born within the marriage bond. Therefore, any child conceived outside of marriage is a sin that must be done away with. That's how I get rid of my sin. Have you not heard? That's how I get rid of my sin. Kill a kid. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to get rid of our sin. He did it for us. We don't have to do it. When it comes to murdering an assailant, you may have not only legal, but scriptural grounds to stand on. But when it comes to snuffing out the life of a helpless, innocent child, what then are your grounds? I think I've heard about them all. Oh, I was too sick. I was prepared. I wasn't prepared to have a child. I can't give him a godly life. His father abandoned me. I was drinking at the time. He might have been born or deformed because of this. And this one really sums them all up. It was an accident. Oh, police! Stand up, folks!
Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of Aborting the Spirit, Part 1. Thank you for listening. Please tune in again next week at 9 a.m. on Saturday over the Just Jesus Radio Network for Part 2 of Aborting the Spirit. May God richly bless you and your house.